And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God. All is good. Baruch Hashem.
So we are done with the high holidays, with the Jewish high holidays festivities.
That's right. You know, it's amazing how the month of Tishrei, the month that all the holidays, that the Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, the story is in, it's such a, it's a very spiritual, uplifting month, a very joyous month. You know, it ends, it starts off very serious, because then you got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then it ends up on a high note of Sukkot and Simchat Torah. It's probably the most beautiful month in the Jewish calendar. You know, especially if you would, for example, if you'd be living in Israel, going into Israel on Sukkot, and you go to the Kotel, to the wall, and you're running around, and all the sukkahs that are around, and the people running in the kids. It's a beautiful holiday. Absolutely beautiful.
It is, and you see the sukkahs all over.
They're on all the balconies and the
balconies, roofs, everywhere.
Wherever you can find a place, sukkah, there's a sukkah.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely beautiful. And now, you know, we're back into the grind of things and back into the worldly, physical things, and we have to take all the lessons and all the inspirations and all the joys that we had from this month, and we need to continue it for the coming year. They say, you know, there's a famous expression, the way that you start off the Shabbat, the year of Shabbat Bereshit, which is what we're going to talk about, the first Torah portion, how God created the world and so on, the way that you start it off is how your year is going to be. So that's something, you know, we want to be able to take all the spiritual aspects from the past month and continue doing it.
Yeah, so we start from scratch, from the beginning.
From scratch. You know, it's interesting to know that you know, we finished in the night of Simchat Torah, and in the day we finished the last Torah portion of Zot HaBracha, and right away, there was no stopping. Right away, we went and we started Bereshit, because we want to show that the Torah is always continuous.
Yeah.
It's not the philosophy book. Oh, it was very nice to know it. It's done, finished. We're complete. Now in 3 weeks we'll start again after we take a break. No, that's the thing. We finish and we start right away. And we see in this week's Torah portion, it talks about the creation of the world, that God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, and how He created Adam. And after Adam was created, obviously he was very lonely, and God took a rib from Adam and He created Eve. He blew the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and He placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and instructed them that they are not allowed to, they can eat from anything they want besides this one
tree,
the Etz HaDaat, and the tree of knowledge. And obviously the snake, which is the very conniving, convinced them, and convinced Chava, Eve, and she convinced Adam, and they did it, and they sinned in that part, and that's why till today the snake crawls on its stomach, and the woman has 9 months of pregnancy.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to know is, what was so significant about this tree? So they ate it, they didn't eat it. What was the big deal? You know, there's always the expression, what you don't know can't hurt you. You know, if you ever think about it, we've never known a baby to come out of the womb of a mother craving chocolate. Obviously not. You know, parents have the same conversation every time a baby starts eating solids. How long do you think we can keep them away from candies? And then, you know, as long as the baby is sweet-free, the parents can live in peace. Once he's tasted his first candy, then the battle starts. Because the child wants more candy, and the parents want to give him less. The child cries, threatens, and he's older. And in the end, the one with the most self-discipline prevails. So the question is, does a baby deserve our admiration for avoiding chocolate before he ever tastes one? Of course not. What you don't know, you can't crave. So, we see, as the Torah tells us, Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden and surrounded by beautiful trees, delicious fruits, and mouth-watering fragrances. It was amazing. We can't even understand what it was. They could indulge to their heart's content. But one tree was forbidden to them. The presence of this tree that was forbidden for them obviously prompts an obvious question. If God didn't want them to eat of this fruit, then why did he place it in their garden? Why was he doing that? Parents who don't want their children to eat candy don't place it for, in front of them on the candy dish. You're not going to give them for dinner their candy. So why is it that God, in their garden, places the tree that they're not allowed to have? So now, our curiosity only grows when we realize that God commanded Adam and Eve to eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden. Now, can you imagine a parent placing his child in front of a candy dish and instructing him to eat every candy in the dish but one? The child would go mad with temptation, which is exactly what happened to Eve. There were all these beautiful trees. They can indulge, they can eat as much as they want. Besides one tree. Now, if you think about it, later, as it goes on, the plot even thickens. According to our sages, the bark of the tree of knowledge was edible and tasted exactly like the fruit itself. And this bark was not only edible, but it was also permissible to Adam and Eve. So this means that God permitted them to suck the sap from his bark, and through that, obviously, they would discover the taste of the fruit, but he forbid them to actually eat the fruit. Think about it. Can you imagine a parent? I'm just bringing down this example because I think it's the most appropriate example that we can understand. A parent placing his child in front of a candy dish, instructing him to eat every candy in the dish but the most delicious one, and then permitting this child to remove the wrapper from the forbidden candy to lick it and discover its taste. Think, how can you expect a child to withstand such a temptation? So the question is, was God setting them up for failure? Maybe God was setting them up for failure. And this was indeed an awesome plot against humanity. Adam and Eve were created innocent and pure in their original state, as it says in the Torah. They would never have transgressed the divine will, God's will.
More than that, they were in Tselem Elohim.
That's right, in the image of God, yeah. Absolutely. But God did not want pure angels. He had enough angels. This time he wanted humans that could be weak. He wanted us. He had enough. He had so many angels up there. He wanted us to feel the temptation of the forbidden. He wanted us to be tempted, and he wanted us to battle our temptation. He endowed us with souls far more potent than those he gave to angels. Because such souls would be wasted on angels, they would never have caused to tap its potential. The angels up there have no temptation. They have no reason to do anything besides the will of God. They're up there. God wanted human beings who would try and test at every turn. He exposed our cravings to the temptation and forced us to reach into our deepest chambers for the strength to overcome those temptations. Yes, there are temptations out there. But he has enabled us, and he's given us that power to reach into our deepest chambers to overcome all of those temptations. Now, pitting the soul against worldly temptations unleashes untapped spiritual energies that bathe us in a whole world of divinity and radiate us unto the world around us. So now, if we're struggling against our own weakness, our commitment is sharpened and our bond is strengthened. So now, it indeed, if not for this day, we would live in, just natural peace. We would never be tempted, we would never be challenged, we would never struggle, and we would also never grow. Because if we'd be standing in one place all the time, you're never going to grow. If everything is perfect, work on anything, you're never going to grow. An angel, what does an angel need to grow? An angel has godliness up there, has no temptation, he's all holy, there's nothing for him to grow. God doesn't need angels. God wanted human beings. God wanted them to be able to have that challenge and to struggle, to be able to find that courage and to strengthen themselves, otherwise they would never grow. But God tempted Adam and Eve and initiated our slide of innocence that we had to worldly maturity. On this day, he also started our climb from mortal weakness to immortal strength. And the Torah describes the sphere of knowledge as good and bad. When the world was first created, things were either all good or all bad. And the tree of knowledge introduced for the very first time an element of bad into that which was otherwise good, and an element of good into that which was otherwise bad. And introducing Adam and Eve to temptation was bad for them. It wasn't a good thing, but the long-term benefit they accrued, the long-term that they got from it at the end, was good. So, because if you think about it today, it is rare to find pursuit, goals that we have are only good or only bad. Life is too sophisticated. It's filled with shades of gray. For example, charity is good, but encouraging dependence is bad. Drugs are harmful, but when prescribed by a physician, they are beneficial. Candy tastes good, but its long-term effects are bad. Exercise is difficult, but its long-term effects are good. So the tree of knowledge obscured our clarity and introduced a serious dilemma. When are the means justified by the end, and when are they not? When does the bad outweigh the good, and when does it not? We have to understand this logic. And the dilemma is the legacy left to us by who? By Adam and Eve. Every time we face it, we are forced to either climb one step forward or slide two steps backwards. But if you think about it, the Torah, thank God, provides us a clue. Short-term difficulties that lead to long-term benefits are good. Short-term benefits that lead to long-term problems are not good. And while this maybe oversimplifies the problem, it is an insight that should be used as a springboard. How can we become better? And it's the curse of Adam and Eve that we have now, but it's also their gift. It gives us the opportunity. So yes, we have this temptation, but reach down deeper into our inner chambers and we can bring out our sophisticated spiritual parts that are given to us to be able to overcome that temptation and move forward. Yes, we might move back a little bit, but we're always heading in one direction, which is moving forward and doing God's will.
That's a nice start for the cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when I was reading in the Chumash and I was just thinking about it, I mean, you know, it's a beautiful thing because everyone in the world goes through temptation.
Yeah.
We have to know how to overcome it and how to be able to. Yes, we're normal. We're human. We might fall into the temptation. But how are we going to break ourselves free and not let the temptations weigh us down and to become closer and do what God wants us to do as our mission in this world.
Rabbi, the students are back to school.
Absolutely.
And I heard that there was a barbecue.
We had we had two barbecues. We had all the way in the beginning of the semester, the Chabad Jewish students said they had a barbecue welcoming back all the students, which we had a lot of students. And last night, the Jewish Student Association had a barbecue in the Stumbling Inn in Sandwich and Mill. And I was there last night and it was a very nice event. So, yes, we are now after the holidays and all the programming and everything that is going to be happening for students now starts.
That's good. And the Shabbat services at Shaarei Tzedek. I think it's not in Shaarei Tzedek now. It's in...
Still in the Shaar. We're under construction, but 6:45 Friday evening and then Shabbat morning, Saturday morning, we daven at 9:30 and Sunday morning is 8:15 followed by breakfast.
That's great. Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, and wishing you a good start to the year. And
thank you.
Shabbat Shalom, and we should all be blessed with health and happiness.
Thank you. And we'll have you next week.
God willing.
Thanks.
Be well.
Bye-bye.